Portions of this program were pre-recorded.
We live, work, pray, and play right here in the Twin Cities. From the Science Museum to Uptown and the Arboretum to the Mill District along the Mississippi. We're the intersection of faith, family, and Christian living in Minnesota. Now here's Lee Michaels with today's Crosswalk.
Hey, we do have a full program today. Great way to start the week here on Crosswalk. I'm Lee Michaels here in the Kingdom Builders Roofing Studios. Thank you for joining us today. And it's Kingdom Builders Roofing now. We've changed it. Kingdom Builders Roofing
what?
Studios.
Again?
Yes, yes.
I'm getting whiplash.
Yep.
I'm already behind.
Email is out today. So Kingdom Builders Roofing Studios.
Rough start to the show, Lee.
That's all right. It's okay, John. We got you covered. So that's hence why the post-it note is no longer on the monitor over there.
Oh, there you go. I should have noticed the post-it note that's missing.
Well, anyway, you know, when we get into this discussion about the church and where we're going, there's some great events and some great things coming up to let us know on what we do. And a conversation that comes up, we've had this before, is dealing with the LGBTQ community. And I've said this for years, you know, it's one of those things when people are going to be coming to our church, they're going to be seeking questions and answers. And how do we get them? How do we encourage them, embrace them, understand what sin is, and deal with all of that? And there's a great organization that's doing just that, Voice the Voiceless, and joining us in studio is Darren Mell. Darren, fantastic to have you in studio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So, first of all, let's just start a little bit your background, when you came to know the Lord, your history, and then why you got involved with Voices of the Voiceless.
Yeah, I was bullied into the gay identity and took on the gay identity in high school. And I came to Jesus at the same time. And so I came to Jesus not because I knew I was a sinner, but because I was involved in some occult stuff and had demonic attacks. And I was fearing for my life. And my Christian friend said, well, Jesus has power over that. So I gave my life to Jesus, started going to church. And I read the Bible and got to Romans and Corinthians talking about homosexuality being a sin. And so I had to come out to my pastor and tell them what I was struggling with. And they said, okay, well, we'll take you to a ministry. And they took me to Outpost.
Okay, yep.
Here in Minnesota, yep. And
I've been on the show many times.
Yeah, and it went over my head. I grew up in Northfield. I was in Northfield at the time. And gay was a slur. I didn't really know what it meant to be gay, other than I had this attraction to guys that I didn't understand. I wasn't acting out or anything.
Yeah.
And it kind of went over my head at the banquet when they, you know, I used to be gay and now I'm not. And it just didn't make sense. So I ended up joining a ministry. God led me into a street evangelism. And so I went with a big black preacher man on the streets of Minneapolis, and we fed the poor and ministered to them. And I did that for 3 years. But when I graduated high school and ended up in college while I was in ministry, I started exploring what it meant to be gay, because I go from Northfield to Minneapolis,
right,
and all of a sudden,
yeah, well, the
right?
big city, literally.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to college in Minneapolis and started experimenting with my identity and what I believed, and started bringing gay guys onto street ministry. And
okay.
The evangelist sat me down for dinner and he says, you know, son, I love you like a son. All right. You know, Darren, I love you like a son, but you can't live as a homosexual and serve Jesus at the same time. So you're going to have to choose. I said, well, I choose Jesus. And so I put the homosexuality on the shelf, and I ended up.
What was that like then? I mean, was that a struggle? Was that hard? I mean, that's one of those questions that people ask is, how do you do that? I mean, the whole conversation of being born homosexual, being born gay is a big topic that gets talked a lot about.
Yeah. I just put it on the shelf. I mean, I was zealous for the Lord, you
yeah.
know, and I was a new convert, and Jesus, you know, saved me from demons and then somebody that loved me, you know,
yeah.
I just didn't feel loved. And so I just put it on the shelf for a while, for years, but then I moved in with a gay Christian friend, and I was trying to help him afford his mortgage. And he actually ended up influencing me to the point that I ended up in a relationship with a guy. And
okay.
so I had started going to gay affirming church and oh, well, the Bible really says this and the Bible really says that, even though I was already filled with the Holy Spirit and I didn't exactly believe it, but it was enough to you know,
right,
just to live in the lifestyle. So I lived in the lifestyle for several years. And while I was dating a guy, one of my Christian friends from the church that I got saved in, they had Matthew 18 me.
Okay.
You know what that means?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
That you can't live as gay and fellowship. So they turned me over, so to speak. But one of my friends there called me up and said, hey, I'm going to a prayer meeting. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we went down to International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And in the prayer room, he said, Darren, do you really think you're gay? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm living with a guy. I'm attracted to guys. I've been praying the gay away, and God didn't take it away. So, you know, I think I'm gay, but if I'm not, I really don't want to be.
Yeah.
And he said, well, let's pray. And I said, well, God, if you don't want me to be gay, you're going to have to break me up with my boyfriend. And it was in sincere prayer. I there was no way I was going to do it. I was in an intimate relationship. And so, and then he said, well, Darren, if you were to marry someone, who would you marry? And I said, well, you know, there's this Rhoda, she's like filled with the Holy Spirit and I just really like her, but she's dating a guy that I broke up with and she knows I'm dating a guy. So I don't know how that would work out, but God, if I'm supposed to be straight, you know, work it out so that I can marry Rhoda.
Yeah.
And I said it with a prayer, both of those with the faith of a mustard seed. It was sincere. And then after the prayer meeting, I went home and my boyfriend broke up with me. And as God worked it out, I waited the customary 2 weeks and he approved me to date his ex-girlfriend. So we started dating and I ended up proposing to her and marrying her.
Wow.
But I came into the relationship. I came into the relationship addicted to gay porn and having the mindset that, you know, God will give me grace to not sin in that area. And so, of course, we get married, we buy a house, we find a church, we go to church, and God provided a brother in the faith at that church that prayed with me on a weekly basis. We built a friendship, and I tried to pray the gay away for 5 years, and it unfortunately ended up with me cheating on my wife, and that was kind of the end of me.
Mm-hmm.
And God, what happened there was that he broke my pride. I thought, you know, well, when you sin, you just get up, you try again, you don't try again.
Yeah.
You ask for grace to not do it again, and you just keep going on. And so God broke that, and he gave me I told him, God, everything I've been doing in this Christianity wasn't working.
Right.
And I said, you need to reveal to me what the truth is. I had created a God and a doctrine around grace, and I would call it cheap grace. He brought me to Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Cost of Discipleship, and I went to my pastor after I cheated and I repented, and he says, well, just don't do it again and you don't need to tell your wife. And the Holy Spirit told me that was bad advice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to my brother and told him, and I was afraid that my son in the womb was going to die because we had 2 miscarriages and that the stress would kill my son and my wife would divorce me. And my brother in Christ said, you know, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. We're going to restore you, but you have to tell your wife. And so at church on Sunday, I went up for prayer and told God, I don't know how to do this. Please make a way where there seems right. to be no way. And my wife came up to me after church and said, you know, I didn't marry you because you're a perfect husband, but I married you because you love God perfectly. Now, the last part's a little overestimate on her part, but it was the door that I needed. And I confessed to her and told her everything. And she said that she saw a cross with her sins on it. And God said that you can divorce your husband under the law, or you can forgive him and receive him back.
Yeah.
And when she did, the sin that I was feeling, I was walking around with for a week as a believer baptized with the Holy Spirit, feeling the weight of your sin. When she forgave me, it was the first time I had tangible mercy in my life. And then that lifted.
Wow.
And over the next year, God had worked out so many things. He delivered me of pornography addiction. I made a covenant with him and said, God, you know, I can't do this. So I'm going to covenant with you and you're going to help me to not lust after men. Like, it's you. I can't do it. And he turned off porn, cold turkeyed me. And then in that year, he delivered me from the desire of wow. same-sex attraction. He had healed me.
It's so powerful when you hear that, when you understand, you know, sin is sin in God's eye. It doesn't matter what it is. We all, whether it's we think it's big or small in us, we all struggle with the flesh. We all struggle with our sin nature. We live in a fallen world. We know the powers and principalities that can get a hold of us. And when you talk about that in your wife and, you know, looking at our sins, and it's sometimes hard to imagine or to go through that, that, you know, well, that's my sin isn't as bad as so-and-so's sin. But yeah, in God's eyes, doesn't matter what it is. That little white lie or that lie of omission is just the same as murdering somebody or same-sex attraction or whatever that is. It's a very powerful testimony. And I want to get, I mean, I wish we even had more time now. I'll have to get you back to get more of this, because there's a couple things I want to make sure we get to in the ministry of helping people through this and understanding, you know, kind of what's happening in some of the liberal churches and what's happening in the church and how we can come alongside, support and engage and be involved in this. Because, you know, if you turn on TV or any look on media anywhere, I mean, you think, you know, more than half the population lives a homosexual lifestyle.
Well, the latest Barna research that just came out, we put it on our Agape First Ministries website. Barna showed that Gen Z, 40% of Gen Z identifies as LGBTQ.
Wow.
And also in Gen Z, 30% of Christians identify as LGBTQ.
Yeah, and that's a growing thing for churches. Just like I mentioned right at the beginning, that we're going to have people or couples coming to churches, and how do you deal with that? Now, the one thing as a same-sex couple, it's easy to see the sin, but there's lots of people in the pew that are suffering with addiction, pornography, drugs, alcohol, abuse, whatever the case may be. We don't see those out in the open, but we have to be able to be that loving and caring to allow people in, but also share the gospel and begin that process, that sanctification process, to move them along. So, Amen. Agape First, you've got some stuff coming up I want to get to. And also, it's interesting, if you have time, I want to talk a little bit to you about the different Christian doctrines when it comes to identity and homosexuality. And that, I think, will help us as, again, believers kind of grasp where this is and how we begin that ministry. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Darren Mel. He is with Voice of the Voiceless and Agape Ministries. You can go online, get more information at voiceofthevoiceless.info. Stay tuned. This is Crosswalk here on AM 980 The Mission. It's Crosswalk here on the Twin Cities Christian Voice, AM 980, The Mission. I'm Lee Michaels. Darren Mel joins us in studio. It's a big topic, and it's something we see everywhere when it comes to our identity in Christ and those especially going into or coming out of the homosexual lifestyle. And if we're just talking between a break there, it sounds like, you know, really it's okay. Because we see legislation really in Canada and Australia, places around the world, and it's creeping in here, this conversion therapy. You can't even have a conversation. If you are somebody questioning your sexuality, it's okay to go the homosexual way. But the second you try to think back the other way, nope, you can't do that. It's a one-way street, and churches are getting caught up in this. And you've got kind of two ministries that deal with that you are involved with, a Voice of the Voiceless and Agape Ministries. So first of all, just kind of explain the difference between the two ministries and how they minister and really work together.
Yep. There are two separate 501c3s. Voice of the Voiceless is an advocacy group for the ex-LGBT or former homosexuals and people who are struggling or questioning their sexuality, to allow us to have space in the public to speak because of all these conversion therapy bans. And it's an education organization to help people understand we exist.
Yeah.
The LGBT lobby denies our existence. And so we're advocating and educating the community. On Agape First Ministries, that is a parachurch ministry. And that's equipping the church and helping family and individuals who are struggling. So our mission statement for Agape First is to make the name of Jesus famous by discipling the nations regarding his transforming power, so that the saints will persevere in their love for God. The transforming power, that Jesus actually does have power to transform and heal the homosexual.
Yep.
That's our message.
Yeah. And you've got an event coming up in a couple of weeks, May 14th.
Yeah. Yep. We have our conference is called Freedom United and Jesus Transforms. And we're going to be at Brien Baptist on May 14th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a half a day event. And it's on our website, and it'll be on Brien's Baptist website.
Yep. And tickets, people can get tickets to it. Come on out and really kind of understand and support what you're doing at Agape First.
Yep. Yep. We'll be talking about the war on transformation, on the how the enemy is creating an environment that robs people of their identity in Christ, and our identity is male and female.
Right.
And the prevailing spirit of the world is androgyny and destroying the image of God on the earth.
Right.
You know who that comes from.
And we thought being, you know, metrosexual was bad, you know, 15 years ago. It's gone completely.
Boy, have I got a story for you about that website, metrosexual. That's where the genderbread man came, or genderbread person came from.
Yeah.
Was metrosexual. But yeah. Yeah.
It's, and then, I mean, I guess we see this, the Bible talks about in the, you know, in the end days, good will be evil and evil will be good. And this is really what we're seeing. And getting back to the conversion therapy aspect of that, because that's a term that gets used. And, but when we talk about it, it's, that's what the left calls it, conversion therapy. To have a conversation about questioning is bad. And that's what they're really trying to outlaw and ban. And this is, you know, you're involved in really helping keep that. You've spoken in front of the UN. You've been involved in lots of things. You even have a lawsuit pending against the president of the United States, of all things.
And Pelosi and Schumer. Yeah, it's to stop the Equality Act, because that would make our testimony of Jesus transforming our lives illegal, as it has been in Canada, Australia, soon to be in the UK, Malta, and several other countries. And the conversion therapy is just a euphemism for anything that would lead somebody out of the LGBT identity, lifestyle, and community.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest proponents is, of course, the LGBT lobby. And here in Minnesota, I just testified a month ago, and I pointed out that the people who write these bills know that it's unconstitutional. And I even put Robert Bierman from Apple Valley on the spot. He was my representative. I went to him, shared my testimony, and I said, this bill prevents free speech and practice of religion, and he doesn't care.
Right.
He told me he wants to prohibit the speech. And I called it out in the conference hearing, and he doubled down. And he says, yeah, wow. I remember that conversation with Darren. And so they don't care that it's unconstitutional. They don't want us to be speaking that Jesus can actually transform somebody and set them free of homosexuality.
Wow. And this is something, I mean, again, in churches, we're going to see this. I mean, if we see, you know, the large percentages of some of these Gen Zers, the younger generation who identify in the LGBTQ community, at some point, whether they hear the gospel from friends or family member or whatever it is, they might start in a liberal church, but find a way into, you know, a good church. How do we then, as a body of believers, when people are showing up, how do we do that? I mean, it's an open door. We want to bring people in. We want to share Christ. But also, that's kind of a little more outward sin than a lot of other people are dealing with. So it's easier to point it, but it's also then easier for us to alienate people trying to come out of that lifestyle.
Yeah, my heart, I came from that community, so I'm not one to judge, you know.
Yeah.
I would be condemning myself for the life that I had lived. No, Jesus sets us free, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and we're called to repent. Jesus died on the cross to reconcile us to the Father. As Christians, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, and Agape First Ministries is here to equip people to be able to do that ministry, to get over the fear that the LGBT lobby pushes on the church, mm-hmm. and the accusations. I've noticed that the enemy comes in with accusations. Well, you're not listening to the LGBT community. You have to listen to us. And it's not the underlying principle is, well, you don't understand how to love properly. So if you listen to us, we'll teach you how to love. You know, love is love.
Yeah.
But my experience in the churches that I've been in, especially the church that I got healed in, they're loving me perfectly. They're loving me just like Christ. They're coming alongside of me. They're encouraging me. They're like, we're with you through this battle. They recognize that I have a broken and contrite heart, that I'm asking God to create a clean heart in me, that I'm not living in pride.
Yeah.
And so if you're not living in pride, then Jesus, God resists the proud and brings the humble close. And
is
so
is there still a little maybe a stigmatism involved with the church and towards the homosexual lifestyle, as opposed to, maybe we understand people suffering from addiction to drugs, and we sort of have we understand that addiction is tough, but I mean, so I'm trying to get us on the same plane.
Yep.
That we understand that it's all kind of in the same boat, and the grace we show people struggling through different forms of sin or addiction has to be shown.
Oh, that's
also
absolutely important, is that we see people. Remember, Ephesians 6:12 is, we're not battling against the person. We're battling against the spirits that have bound them up.
Yeah.
And our heart is to see them set free and come alongside of them. I know churches that that is their heart, is to help people
yep.
walk through sanctification with them. And yeah, the church has had stigma because they say, just don't do it. And 2 Peter 1:5-7, to your faith add virtue, to virtue add knowledge. We've got the virtue statement down, but we have no knowledge of how to minister in the space. So they're saying, listen to us, listen to us. And I'm saying, listen to us who have gone through it and have been transformed. We can equip you to understand and how to have compassion for those people yeah. who are struggling that way.
Yeah.
And don't say, well, I got to kick you out of my house. Let's have a conversation first.
Right.
When parents tell me, oh, well, we have a, you know, gay son or daughter and we just told them we can't do it. Now what do we do? I'm like, well, you just kicked him out. Like, you had a relationship. Let's talk about this first and keep the relationship going.
Yeah. So. And that's an important thing, because it is those relationships when it comes to, you know, sharing the gospel, understanding that and building and healing. But to understand where everything is, and I think with what you're doing with Agape First and with Voice of the Voiceless are two very powerful ministries, especially in this day and age with what we're up against. And I really thank you for sharing your testimony and all that. And if people want more information on the event coming up on the 14th at Berean Church, mm-hmm. they can go to agapefirst.org, the website.
Agape First Ministries.
Agapefirstministries.org. Okay.
Yep, on our events page.
And get tickets and get that event. I'll definitely have to get you back to... kind of dig into more of this, because it is, again, I believe 100% that this is, you know, we're going to see more and more, especially when we start getting into transgender people who have gone through that transformation and, you know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, have a real transformation for Christ and coming to church and dealing with that. I mean, it's all things that, you know, the church is going to, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to see those in numbers. And we really have to be, you know, having those conversations now and how we're showing that love and helping people through it, because it's not always an easy task.
Indeed.
Yeah. Darren, I really appreciate it. Would you close us in prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are sovereign and that you created all people and that you desire that they would be reconciled to you and that nobody is outside of your reach, that you desire all to repent and to be reconciled. And Lord, I pray for the churches and the families and the individuals that this issue has touched. And I pray that you'd be glorified in it, that your peace and your wisdom and your understanding of who these people are, who you created them to be, would be front and center, and that the hope that we have in Christ will be known. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Darren, thanks again. Again, you can go to agapefirstministries.org for information on the event coming up on the 14th. Voiceofthevoiceless.info is where you can go to get more information on both these incredible deals. We'll get you back, because we didn't even get into the whole views of doctrine and identity when it comes to this and how the church is looking at these things, because we could do a whole hour just on that alone. So down the road, let's do that. Let's get you back and get that scheduled, because I think it's definitely something we need to be doing and showing that love of Christ. So blessings to you, Darren.
God bless.
Thank you. Hey, stick around. More Crosswalk coming back here in the Twin Cities Christian Voice, AM 980, The Mission.